Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Sarah LaDuke. In Studio A with me on this Medical Monday is Dr. Niraj Sharma of Cardinal Spine and Pain Medicine in Wappingers Falls, New York. Board certified and fellowship trained in interventional spine and pain medicine, physical medicine, and rehabilitation, Dr. Sharma is here to talk about lower back pain, neck pain, herniated discs, spinal stenosis, pinched nerves, etc. If it's paining your back, she will talk to you about it. She's also here to say what kind of non-surgical treatments are available, hence rehabilitation, etc. To participate in today's discussion, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email VoxPop, voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. Dr. Niraj Sharma, welcome back to Vox Pop. It's so great to meet you.
Thank you. Same here. Nice to finally meet you in person as well.
Yeah. So you're here. You are here to talk about back and spine pain and troubles. How did this become your specialty? What about the back drew you in?
I think because during my rotations as a medical student, you see a lot of immediate improvement in many cases. So, you know, that kind of excited me because I have people in the family that I know have been suffering for pain for ages. And, you know, this is a great non-surgical field available for patients. When I was a child, the only treatments you really had for back pain were chiropractics or back surgery. So now there's an entire field dedicated to help non-surgically.
And is it related to physical therapy, occupational therapy? Or is it how is it different from those two things?
So that's a great question. So one of my board certifications is in physical medicine rehab, and that field focuses on functional improvement for patients, quality of life changes. But I also obtained a board certification in interventional spine so that I can actually perform, I shouldn't say invasive, but more spinal procedures with my PMNR certification. I was trained to do joint injections, so I can do shoulders and elbows and hips and knees. But with this additional certification, now I can do interventional procedures for the cervical spine or the lumbar spine or the thoracic spine.
Tell me those different parts of the spine. Remind me where they all are.
Sure, sorry.
No. I think I know, but let's let's go through the lingo.
Sure. So cervical is the neck. Mm-hmm. Thoracic is the mid-back. And lumbar is the lower back.
Right, where a lumbar support pillow goes.
Exactly.
Named for the same thing. 1-800-348-2551 to call Dr. Niraj Sharma with your back pain questions. 800-348-2551. What is there any prevailing back ailment, spine ailment that you see in your practice? Is there something it feels like Everybody has it.
So most common, I would say, is lumbar spinal stenosis. Stenosis means narrowing. So essentially, we're looking at the holes in your spine where the nerves come out. And those holes over time can become narrower, thereby putting compression on the nerves. So that's when someone says, hey, I have a pinched nerve, that's what they're talking about, compression of the nerve. I have it too. Spinal stenosis has a large genetic component. I would say about 70% of it is genetic, and about 30% is environmental. So you could have, higher chances of back pain, say, if you're a construction worker or if you're a nurse that does a lot of lifting, landscaping, anything that causes a lot of wear and tear. A lot of athletes we see that were very active in high school and college and, now they're paying for it.
Right.
all those variables play a role.
800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. A few years ago, a handful of years ago, I had identified as like a shoulder pain that, and it's resolved. I'm not asking you for for treatment on the air, but
wouldn't mind, but sure.
Yeah, that it ached a lot. It got worse until there was numbness in the arm. So then I went to my doctor because I was like, I'm just sleeping on it wrong. It's going to be fine. And then ultimately not, but it was caused by
your neck,
my neck,
yeah.
And got physical therapy. It's all good. I tell that story to ask you the question, do people often come in to you or get referred to you thinking the pain is somewhere else, and then you have to locate it in their column.
Absolutely. So I think that's why it's so important for patients to get a physical exam, because 99% of what I do is based on my physical exam findings. So many a times, like you described, you know, patient comes in, oh, my shoulder's been bothering me. But when I examine them, I say, actually, it's from your neck. It's referred pain into the shoulder. So that exam really helps us differentiate and identify what the source of their pain is so I can treat them accordingly. If it's a shoulder problem, you know, we can try things like anti-inflammatories. That's kind of first line. Aleve, Advil, ibuprofen kind of things, Tylenol, physical therapy or occupational therapy, like you mentioned. And if those conservative means don't really help the patient, then we become a little more aggressive. Then I would probably order some imaging, and we talk about cortisone injections also.
Are there other places in the body that disorders of the spine refer discomfort out to?
Yeah.
Everywhere, because the spine everywhere. Is connected to everything.
Everywhere, because yeah, because different nerves supply different parts of the body, and then we can kind of figure out, oh, it's this one, you know.
800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Dr. Niraj Sharma of Cardinal Spine and Pain Medicine in Wappingers Falls, New York is here. You ready to go to the phones?
Sure.
All right. Let us speak with Darren in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Hello, Darren.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. What's your question?
I slipped a few years ago on a wet floor, and I tried to keep myself from falling, so I sprained my back. And I found recently, within the last couple of years, I have a fairly strenuous job, so I heard you talking about, you know, people that have difficult jobs like landscaping and such have difficulties like that. But I was curious, you know, after maybe a week or two of strenuous work, I finding that, you know, towards the center to the left side of my back, the pain is so difficult or so much that it's difficult sometimes to do some of the work that I have. Is there anything that I can do or exercises or something, some kind of direction that you can give me that might be able to help with the pain?
Sure. Thank you for calling, Darren. So if you wouldn't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm in my 50s.
50s? Okay. Are you on any blood thinners or anything like that?
I am on some blood thinners, yes.
So because you are on blood thinners, you know, you kind of have to be careful with anti-inflammatories, things like Aleve or Advil. So medication-wise, just for safety reasons, I would say probably stick with the Tylenol. There is a Tylenol arthritis strength, the 650 milligrams. So when you have these flares, you can try to take that. Also, I recommend using ice over the site. You want to kind of stay away from heat in those acute situations. And when you use the ice, you kind of want to stick with 10, 15 minutes at a time. As far as stretching, I usually defer to my physical therapy colleagues. You know, they usually can do their own eval, make an individualized home exercise program for you. And then if you're still having persistent pain all these years out, I think you may think about, you know, seeing your doc or a pain specialist for maybe imaging of your low back, maybe an MRI to kind of reveal the anatomic detail and see, okay, is there a herniated disc, or, you know, a physical exam would kind of help differentiate what the source is. Maybe it's your facet joints, which are, you know, joints on either side of the back. And if your job involves, say, a lot of bending or rotation of your spine, those joints can be irritated more frequently.
Okay, and that's exactly what's happening. So thank you very much. That gives me some direction. I appreciate it.
No problem, Darren. Feel better.
All right. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. Excuse me. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We have an email that went to VoxPop. My goodness, excuse me, voxpop@wamc.org from John, who says, hello, what physically diagnosable indicators would you need in order to recommend an SI joint fusion? First, tell me what that means, SI joint fusion.
Sure. So first, let's identify what an SI joint is. It's the sacroiliac joint. You have one on each side, right and left. So it's essentially where your low back meets the hip joints in the back. So you have the hip joint in the front, like where your groin is on either side, but where it connects in the back, that's where the joint forms. So before you consider a fusion, I would probably go with less invasive treatment options. I'm assuming you've had oral meds.
Let me finish the email.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's my fault because I gave you a part and then it does say, how long would you wait for PT to solve such a problem before feeling that PT, physical therapy, might not entirely solve it? And then also a point I don't know if you want to address, which is, why is it so hard to get an MRI of my joint area? X-rays are given out like candy, but it seems like I need an act of Congress to get an MRI. That's from John. You can comment on that as you wish or not.
Okay. So for the sacroiliac joint, you want to try oral meds first because it's due to inflammation in that area. So you want to try on anti-inflammatories, again, like Aleve or Advil with food. You never want to, irritate your stomach. I would also consider, at least 10 to 12 sessions of physical therapy, I think would be the bare minimum that you should give it a try. The step after that would probably be a cortisone injection into the joint, sacroiliac joint injection. Because it's a deep area, these are performed under X-ray, also known as fluoroscopy. So I would consider that before I considered a sacroiliac joint fusion. And as far as the data that I'm familiar with, I don't know how successful fusions are. I guess it really depends on the surgeon that's performing them and what their experience is, what manufacturer they're dealing with. So lots of variables there. But I would try the less invasive stuff first.
800-348-2551. Doctor, you have earned your first break. We are going to hear from some underwriters, and then we'll return with Dr. Niraj Sharma of Cardinal Spine and Pain Medicine in Wappingers Falls. You're listening to Medical Monday on Vox Pop. Welcome back to Medical Monday on Vox Pop. I'm Sarah LaDuke in for Ray Graff, here with Dr. Niraj Sharma of Cardinal Spine and Pain Medicine in Wappingers Falls, New York. The phone number, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. The phones are getting pretty full. Are you ready to go right back
sure.
to calls?
All
righty. Let's go now to, who's been on hold the longest? Jay in Huntington. Hello, Jay.
Yes, hello. Thanks for taking the call. I'm a very active person, a lot of skiing, scuba diving, sailing, and I was a contractor all my life. Recently developed back problems and had 2 months of physical therapy. I was described one of those belts that didn't do anything. The physical therapy didn't really yield results. I finally went to a spinal place and they ordered an MRI. MRI radiologist said severe narrowing in L5, and I had a cortisone shot, and it's worked for the past 5 weeks, but it is really wearing off now, and I'm scheduled on a major dive trip to Egypt in 2 weeks. I've got an appointment with a spinal neurosurgeon who I've gotten some good recommendations on for the same thing, L5. I'm wondering if I should put all my hopes into that, or is there something else? And last question, if I do go with the spinal surgery, what exactly do they do?
Okay. Well, first of all, Jay, thank you for your call. As far as the findings on the MRI, so that basically means that you have narrowing around the hole where that nerve exits. Do you have leg pain as well?
Yes.
Okay. So you had one injection thus far. I don't think that's sufficient. I would probably go for a second repeat injection because sometimes that nerve is so swollen that you need additional medicine to kind of calm it down. So what they're doing is really chemically decompressing that area. Surgery, I would consider if you failed, additional injections, if they tried, say, oral steroids, if they've tried nerve pain medications, there's actually other categories of drugs we can also use to help with your pain. So what the surgeon would essentially do if you chose that route is to make that hole bigger to take the pressure off the nerve. But I would really exhaust your non-surgical options before you consider that.
Okay. Well, I'll probably have the appointment with the surgeon. We see what he says.
Yeah.
I will try to get another cortisone shot. And you mentioned some Tylenol drug that was kind of designed for that.
So there's Tylenol arthritis. That's 650 milligrams. It can help with pain, but the only thing about that one is it's not anti-inflammatory. So, things like Motrin, Naproxen, things like that have more of the anti-inflammatory benefit. Hope that helps.
Anti-inflammatory, yes, like Motrin.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think that answers it, but I will consider those other things before I say yes to the
surgery. Yes, and have a safe trip.
Last question, real quick. If you do have the surgery, what are the chances of this reoccurring?
That is a question for the surgeon, because every surgeon has their own success rate for different type of approaches. So I would really be specific. Make a list of your questions before you go there.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Jay. Bye-bye. We will keep it rolling with the calls and go now to Matthew in Clifton Park. Hello, Matthew.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I have arthritis in my thoracic spine, and I've never had any treatment for it or anything like that. It really bothers me when I do a lot of walking.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't bother me. For example, it doesn't bother me if I run or anything like that. I exercise frequently. I'm just wondering, is there any treatment for that? And I'm also wondering, is the x-ray diagnosis definitive for this?
So the thoracic spine, it is common to see arthritis there as well. It could be anywhere along the spine, the neck, the mid back, or the low back. If you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm 68 now.
68. As far as you're aware, do you have osteopenia or osteoporosis, decreased bone density?
I definitely do not have that.
Okay. Because the one thing that I would, think of immediately would be make sure it's not a compression fracture. Because over time and, certain patients with certain risk factors, once their bone density decreases, the thoracic spine is a common area to see compression fractures, and it's manifesting itself as pain. So maybe if you haven't, talked to your primary, maybe discuss getting a bone density scan. And to answer your question about is the x-ray diagnostic, I think the MRI of the thoracic spine is the gold standard. So that's obviously what we would like to have. But I think the first recommendation would be to see if you've had a bone density scan, just to make sure we're not missing something that we can treat.
Okay. I do think this is due to an injury I had, sports related, when I was younger.
Okay. Yeah. So you probably
have. Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you for calling, Matthew. 800-348-2551 on Medical Monday this afternoon. Dr. Niraj Sharma is our guest, here to take your questions about spine pain in medicine. Ready for another call?
Yeah.
Okay. You are. You look so ready. We'll go to Mai and Troy. Hello, Mai.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. What's your question?
My question is, I have a cervical issue. I've already had neurosurgery on my cervical spine. I can manage the pain. I've been on gabapentin and ibuprofen and naproxen. I know how to manage the spine pain, and I do get numbness in my arms and fingers at times, but like I said, I can manage it. Recently, my shoulders have been really painful, and my range of motion has been limited. My GP has done every test possible. She doesn't think it's anything to do with something I need to see a rheumatoid, doctor about. But I'm wondering, is there a way to tell the difference? I don't know, should I go to an orthopedic or should I go to a rheumatologist?
Hi, Mai. Thank you for calling. Great mm-hmm. question. How do you know? You know by examining the patient. Mm-hmm. So orthopedic could be an option. Yeah, they'd primarily be looking at the shoulders to see if there's arthritis in there. Is there a rotator cuff problem? Did you have any recent trauma? Were you lifting anything?
No.
Nothing like that?
No, I wasn't. That was so crazy. And yeah. Sometimes it's worse and sometimes it's not as bad. So it's hard to say.
Right. It all depends on a good exam. It could be referred pain from your cervical spine. I know you said you were taking the gabapentin, though. Are you taking it consistently? Mm-hmm.
I know that's one thing my doctor said, is that I really have to keep my time on, like, of taking the pills on schedule, because otherwise it's not effective. So I have been better at that, and it does make a big difference.
Absolutely, especially for the numbness, the burning, the tingling type sensations. It's very important to be consistent with the gabapentin, because it's not like, say, Aleve. You take it, you feel better 15 minutes later. Gabapentin really needs to build up in your system to therapeutic levels. So I would definitely recommend taking it on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was taking it on a daily basis, but it was required like 3 times a day, and that was a lot, and I kept forgetting. But I've been much better in the last few weeks, and it does make a difference that I'm taking it the full 3 times a day.
Actually, what you're describing is a very common story. So what I tell my patients is put a reminder on your phone.
I was just going to
like
say that.
Timer.
I did it for my dad.
Exactly.
I do it for mine. Otherwise, I'm going to forget.
You're going to forget, because we get busy during the day. We kind of forget to take the midday dose. So if you put a little reminder on your phone, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, or say, okay, I got to take it with meals. Do you have to take it three times a day? Not necessarily, but I would at least take it twice a day, because it should kind of address that neuropathic component of your symptoms, like the burning, the numbness, the tingling. I would talk to your doctor, see if they're comfortable putting you on a couple of days of oral prednisone. That may help knock it out, you know?
Right. Okay. I will do that. Thank you so much, doctor. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Dr. Niraj Sharma of Cardinal Spine and Pain Medicine in Wappingers Falls, New York, is our guest this afternoon. And we go now to Kevin in Belchertown. Hello, Kevin.
Yes, hello. Thank you so much for taking my call. I appreciate it. So, doctor, this is what I've got going on. I'm 56 years old. I've been a mason tender in my young life, was a laborer for many years, jackhammered for many years, had a lot of broken bones, but a lot of injuries, 5-6 hand surgery treatments, broken shoulder, rostrum Gould on my ankle, knee scopes, broken hands. I've realized with the back pain that I've had, I went to a local chiropractor, the third one that I've tried, and was very rough with the way they were treating me and cracking me. Mm. And they took an X-ray of my back, and they showed me the X-ray a couple weeks after continuing to crack me and causing more pain. And they said, you have some spinal compression. You have deteriorating discs. So compression of the spine. And they showed me my X-ray, and as my X-ray looks, as I'm leaning to the right, it's nice and round, and arch is really nice. And as I go to the left, it goes up to about L4, L5, and then it suddenly takes a sharp 45-degree turn to the left. I'm finding that I'm having, as I'm lifting my legs up, each individual leg doing exercises, on my way back down, I'm getting a thunk, a thunk, a thunk, and I can feel it clicking and thunking in my back.
Which part of your back?
Through my entire, and it's like lower thoracic.
Lower thoracic,
and
okay.
It's unbelievable. I've never had this before. And like I said, I was a mason tender, so I was 100-pound pieces of granite and things and bricks and cement on my shoulders all the time. So I really put a lot of damage into my back. And I'm finding now, you know, with my honeymoon, I did 700 miles on our motorcycle out to Watkins Glen and up and around to the lakes and everything else. And it was brutal. And I'm just wondering what the next step is. I've never really necessarily had injections or anything like that, but I'm just wondering with a thunk, you know, with that. I'm also having some pain. It's touching off my sciatic nerve to where I'm getting pains in my hips and down my front of my leg and the side of my eyes and everything like that. Yeah. So I'm wondering what I can do.
Sure. So I think for now we can kind of hold off on the chiropractics if it's not helping your symptoms. I'd probably make an appointment with a with a pain specialist. I think the next piece of the pie is you need an MRI. You need an MRI that's going to give us anatomic detail, that's going to show us how bad the narrowing is. And I know you had mentioned the word compression. I'm assuming they were trying to say that there was compression of the nerve because there's narrowing around the space through which that nerve passes. So that MRI will give us a really nice picture. And, you know, then they can treat accordingly as to, okay, this area is the worst. If you're having symptoms in your legs, I think you would probably benefit from a cortisone injection just to kind of calm things down in there.
Okay. Yeah, because they told me, they said, you have degenerative disc. That's what I was trying to think
of. Don't let that term scare you. It's just basically arthritis. It's arthritis.
It scared me quite well. Yeah, arthritis. I figured it might be that. I mean, that's, my father said it, he goes, we all have that.
We all have. I agree with your father. He is right.
Degenerative disc makes it sound like it's turning into sand, before your eyes. But
That's exactly. Okay. All right.
Good luck to you.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Kevin. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Dr. Niraj Sharma is here, and we'll go now over to Smallwood and talk to Francis. Hello, Francis.
Hi, Edmund. Thank you for taking the call.
You got it. What's your question? You were going. Go ahead.
Give you some real quick specifics without being too polite. BMI 26, 84 years old, white Protestant type, all the good stuff, right, in quotation marks.
Okay.
I've had my spine looked at by a few different people, and the last person has been the most, how shall I put it, accommodating, in the sense that they had a look at it and said, your L4 and L5, there is stenosis there, and we'd like you to try PT. Well, I'd been on PT for a bad knee for about a year, and so they tried something else, traction.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a very interesting business. I wasn't able to finish the full course of traction, but is traction a reasonable way to deal with this type of stenosis?
So obviously it doesn't eliminate it. Excuse me. But what it can do, I'm sorry. I was saying that traction won't eliminate the arthritis or the stenosis, but what they're attempting to do is take the pressure off the nerve. So, yes, you can definitely try it. It's definitely a modality that I would recommend prior to you considering injections. But I think that may be the next step if you're not getting much improvement.
Okay, so far I've been on various anti-inflammatories, meloxicam, and then I've had the, I take one aspirin a day. And at my age, it's all very complicated with the other things, too. But the anti-inflammatories and anti-pain drugs include things like 650 Tylenol times 2, and the gabapentin.
The gabapentin?
That's what it's called. Yeah, that was given to me as a prescription, and it was to be 3 times a day, and she says you can get away with it with 2 times a day if it's good. I take it in the morning when after I have my breakfast, and then in the evening before I go to sleep. Makes life a little easier, makes me sleep a little bit better too. Now the question is, if the traction doesn't work too well, and I've had the prednisone routine also.
Okay.
The question that really interests me now, because I'm at the stage of the game where I'm contemplating surgery, and as a statistician, I asked the doctor about success rates, and he said we have about an 80% hit rate. A positive hit rate. And then we have about a 20%, a 10% rate of no effect. In other words, we've given a surgery, we're sorry about the surgery, and it's not doing any good. And then the third 10%, I said, well, what about those folks? He said, unfortunately, they get worse. And the question is, if you had an 80% hit rate on getting better, would you take that with the risk of the other 20%?
Before I answer that question, I would ask you, do you feel that you've exhausted all your non-surgical options?
Just about. My basic routine is I have a big dog, and we walk 5K a day. We are good walkers, and I've been unable to do that for a year.
Okay.
I had a very strange incident, which I won't be too tedious about, but it involved a deer and my dog and a radical hard twist.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that'll
and that
happen.
That must have nicked the sciatic nerve somehow.
Okay. Are you still there?
So the question is, am I ready for surgery or should I continue with PT? And in, it's painful. It's very painful to walk.
So, again, I'm going by the textbook, but the red flags for me for surgical consultation are usually, are you losing control of your bowel or bladder, meaning you cannot hold your urine or your stools? Are you requiring narcotics on a daily basis, like, say, oxycodone, hydrocodone? And third would be, is it limiting you from functioning? So if the answer to those questions is yes, then, you know, maybe have a consultation. Also keep in mind, just because you have a consultation does not mean you have to have the surgery. If you haven't had the injections, I would probably consider those first.
Okay, what is the recovery time from cleaning up the stenosis in those lumbar regions?
So that's a question I would say to pose to the surgeon, because every surgeon has their own experience. And again, it depends on what approach they're taking. Are they fusing the spine? Are they putting hardware in there? So it really depends on a lot of variables.
Are there any other medications you would suggest I try other than the group that I dropped on you?
Maybe you can talk to your doctor about trying something like Cymbalta, also known as duloxetine. So there are some antidepressants that may actually help with the pain as well. So, Cymbalta may be an option. Another one, I don't know if you've tried, is Lyrica. That's also for nerve pain. It's also known as pregabalin.
Yeah. I've tried the Cymbalta, and that does nothing but make me duller than I am.
Maybe the dose is too high.
Okay.
All right,
is there anything else you can tell me which will make my life a little easier and so I can walk? I have grave difficulty walking. I've been up, I have gone as much as 4K, about 2.5 miles a day. I'm an active person. I just cannot sit around. And when you sit, that's even worse, I found, than getting up. If I keep moving, it hurts too, but it hurts less.
In general,
there seems to be no way out.
In general, the patients that have the spinal stenosis, I usually tell them to take more frequent breaks. You want to, if you've been walking, say 15, 20 minutes, you want to sit down for 5 minutes and kind of let your back reset.
Welcome back to Medical Monday on Vox Pop. Dr. Niraj Sharma is here to answer your spine pain questions. Let's go to, correct button, Sebastian in Lenox. Hello, Sebastian.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, indeed. You are on the air. What's your question?
Hi. I've been experiencing some pain in my spine, in my neck, for over a month.
Did you have any...
Hello?
Yes. Yes, we can hear you. Did you have any trauma to the site? Did you fall? Was there an injury?
No, not to the best of my knowledge. I'm sorry. I'm so confused because I thought someone would tell me to turn my radio off so that I can speak on the phone. Apparently, technology has gotten better. I play hockey, ice hockey, 3 times a week at a fairly intense level, and I do not feel any pain. I'm a general contractor. I don't feel pain during the day. But when I wake up in the morning... And it's really one vertebrae, and it's the one that is proudest or most protuberant in my neck.
Yeah.
And it's really just on the outside of that vertebrae that it's painful.
Okay.
And once in a while during the day, I just feel just a little bit of pain. I have experienced very, very intense handicapping and debilitating pain in my lower back. This is nothing like that.
Okay.
I've been seeing a chiropractor whom I am honored to call a friend now, who told me about it was about my posture. I've been very alert and mindful of my posture for this last month, and clearly it has not changed anything. My wife, who is so much such a smarter individual than me, said it had to do with my pillow. I'm not using a pillow anymore, and I don't know that it has any effect. Okay. And finally, one of my hockey mates said that it might have to do with my feet, and maybe orthopedic would help.
Orthopedic, an insole.
Oh, an insole. Okay. So are you cut out for a second there?
But we solved it.
So
thank you.
Of course.
The prominence in the back of your neck that you're describing is most likely the spinous process of C7. Now, do you have any headaches with these symptoms?
Nope, not at all.
Okay. Do you have any pain kind of radiating into your arms? Any numbness, burning, tingling?
Well, no, none of that. But for a few months, I have one sore spot on my left arm elbow.
So you may have some tendonitis.
Again, I feel it most. I'm sorry?
You may have some tendonitis at the elbow. That's quite possible.
Okay. And would that carry on to the spine in my neck?
So I think there are two different sources of pain. I would definitely get some imaging of the cervical spine to kind of get a baseline of your anatomy, whether you can just start with x-rays, if your chiropractor friend can probably order some imaging. But again, in my opinion, the gold standard is really an MRI. You probably should consider some physical therapy prior to the imaging, because I know a lot of insurance companies like to see, or I should say mandate, that you complete conservative treatments such as chiropractics and physical therapy before they would authorize an MRI.
Okay. And as a active 40-year-old, do you think that if I respectfully put on pause all of your recommendations and simply adopted a not too extreme but regular gym, so mostly stretching regimen, that might help?
Sure, absolutely. That may help, yeah. You're going to improve the blood flow to that area, so you may see that your symptoms reduce.
So gym and yoga might be the solution?
Sure, but again, if your symptoms worsen, I would definitely recommend imaging, right? Because you don't want to do something that may worsen your symptoms at the gym.
What if they stay the same for another month?
I will leave that up to you, because if that pain is debilitating, I would seek that imaging sooner than later. But, you know, sometimes you have discomfort for a couple of months, you take some anti-inflammatories, you use some ice over the area, and it may resolve.
Oh, you've dropped out, Sebastian. Sorry. Good luck. Thank you. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. On to Shelley in Cheshire. Hello, Shelley.
Hi, how are you?
I'm reasonably well, thank you. How are you?
Okay, thanks for taking my call. I'm 87 years old, have been quite healthy my whole life, but in the past year and a half or so, I've developed neuropathy. And I've had CT scans and MRIs of my spine, and I'm the L4-5 has been the affected zones on my right side. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, I'm going to start physical therapy tomorrow. Do you think that might help? Have you had any experience with neuropathic pain and, you know, the tingling, burning in the feet? It gets hot and it also has cramps.
Right.
I have cramps.
Sure.
I'd love to know your opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. So, the physical therapy may help with the symptoms that are being referred from the back into your legs and into your feet. If the neuropathy, say, is due to diabetes, are you diabetic by any chance?
No, I'm not.
Okay. So, again, the neuropathy could be acute or it could be chronic. usually when it's chronic, I don't know how much you can reverse with physical therapy, but the therapy may definitely help with strengthening your core, your back extensors, developing a home exercise program, and, you know, see how you respond. And if the therapy doesn't help, then you may consider injections that may help with inflammation. Again, as far as the neuropathy, I don't know how much of that can be reversed, though.
Okay. Thank you very much, doctor.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling, Shelley. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. We're in the home stretch now, Dr. Niraj Sharma. Are you still having a good time?
Yes, always.
Just speed advice. Let's go now to Gina in Clifton Park. Oh, I don't mean you should go faster. I mean, this has been like running a marathon. Sorry. Go ahead, Gina. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm 42. I have three children, and I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis two years ago, 2023. After I had my first child, before I knew I had rheumatoid, my hip started to really bother me, the right hip, also the hip I carry my children on, but I just don't understand the amount of pain that I have in my hip. I just had my x-rays done for my rheumatologist, and she said everything looked good. There was no signs of arthritis in the joints, in those areas. And I asked her if I could have an MRI done to see if I have one of two things that I'm thinking I have after all the research I've done and all of the chiropractors I've been to and PT, and nobody's been able to help me with this pain. I was wondering if I might have sacroiliitis or a labral tear, and I just wondered if you might have another idea if that's something it might be, or if it could be, or, you know, and if I'm going in the right direction at this point, just to try to figure it out.
Sure. Thank you for your call. Do you have any pain in the right groin area in the front?
Not really. It's mostly the back.
Okay. How about
sometimes
the side?
I get a burning sensation there, though, in that groin. Yes, okay. In the side. Mm-hmm. Occasionally it runs, you know, almost like the SI, like sciatica down the leg. Okay. I've also had my lower back go out just from like bending over, doing something, you know, very simple. Mm-hmm. And it's terrible pain when that happens.
Okay, so it looks like we need to kind of differentiate the terms. So sacroiliac is more where the back of your spine meets with the hip. So kind of over your buttock area. Hip joint, again, not always, but a lot of the times if you have groin pain that indicates, you know, a hip issue, but you already had imaging done, that was ruled out. Sounds like you may have some bursitis of your hip. So what I want you to do is apply an ice pack there at bedtime for 10-15 minutes every night for, say, a week, and see if that helps you. And if your rheumatologist does bursa injections, they can be done very quickly in the office. And not only could it be therapeutic, but the injection could also be diagnostic. So if you get improvement, we'll know, hey, most of your pain is from the bursa. It's very easy to do.
Okay. Okay. And I have an MRI next week, so that will... If they're doing an MRI of that area, should they be and they're supposed to be looking for those things, am I supposed to ask for something specific?
Okay. Is the MRI of the hip?
Yes. Okay. I asked her if I could have it done for the hip because those were the two things I was worried about. But nobody else has suggested anything except for speaking to you.
Sure. So if they're doing imaging of the hip, that would rule out a labral tear. So the labrum is cartilage in the hip joint. So sometimes if you have a tear, yes, that can cause problems. So at least the MRI will identify if there's a tear in there, which is a good thing. If it's not, we can cross that off the list. But the easiest thing I would say is for now, we can assume it's bursitis and try the ice on the hip at bedtime. And then, you know, I would speak to the rheumatologist or even maybe some primary care is to do a bursa injection in the office. That's pretty quick. You should have immediate improvement.
Okay. I'll do that.
Okay. Good luck.
Good luck, Gina. Thank you for calling and for listening.
Thank you.
Sure. 800. Nah, I won't give the number again. We're going to go to like one more call and then the show is over. It's just a, habit. Let's go to Heather in Great Barrington. Hello, Heather.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
All right. So I'll try to make it quick.
Thank you.
So to make a long story short, I have had lower back pain for going on 2 years now. I've had it. I've gone to physical therapy, 2 separate rounds. I've had 2 separate injections in my L4, L5 bilateral facets. And then also in the SI joint, they were successful, for like maybe a week in both separate, injection effects would wear off. And so now the next recommendation is to stabilize the SI joint with a fusion. And I'm really not too keen on doing that because a lot of my pain, it's hard for me to differentiate if it's, like a nerve compression. So what they found on imaging was that there was a spondylosis and also stenosis and to varying degrees that could potentially be causing this pain, but there's no radiation of pain and it's all localized in my lower right back.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's more of a muscle spasm. So I'm starting to like second guess myself. Is this the pain? Could it be pain from what they found on the imaging, with the stenosis and the spondylosis? You know, I don't know. Or could it be truly muscle spasms? Because I had been trying to compensate for the pain that I was initially feeling.
So
wow, that's long.
Sure. So thank you for that info. When you had the facet injections, do you know if you had all 3 steps? Because the first step is the diagnostic block, second step is the confirmatory, and the third step is the ablation where they cauterize the nerve. Did you have all 3 steps?
Oh, no. I had the cortisone injection.
Right.
Into those areas.
Okay. So did they say...
Oh, time is sorry. Running out, you guys. No, it's not your fault. It's not anybody's fault.
Okay.
Time just marches. Do you have a quick rec that you could give in 20 seconds, or do we not have?
Right. I would ask the physician if they would consider doing the ablation for you for the facet joints. That may give you more long-lasting improvement.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry. Thanks for calling, Heather. Thank you to everybody. Sorry to everyone we left on the line. Dr. Niraj Sharma has been our guest. Support for Medical Monday comes from Daughters of Sarah, Albany, New York, providing a continuum of care for seniors, offering them opportunities to live and age gracefully with dignity and respect. Daughtersofsarah.org. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Thanks to Bob Rathbun for answering the phones today. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Tomorrow on Vox Pop, Travel with Jean Gagnon. That's tomorrow at 2 p.m. Stay tuned now for the best of our knowledge.